everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Football NYC. Joe Callow back after a one-week vacation. I got so sick after watching that Giant game on Thanksgiving that I had to take a week off just to get rid of the agit in my stomach. And I'm joined by the one and only Ross Tucker, former offensive lineman and one of our co-hosts of This Week in Football. Ross, how you doing? You have that smile on your face?
I do have a smile on my face, Joe. Two reasons. One is, of course, you're back. Now that the Giants finally put forth a decent performance, beat the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday, and they deserve credit. I'm also smiling because of your shirt today. I didn't know you were a big hunter.
You know what? I walked outside today, so it was a little cool, a little windy. It's like a flannel kind of day, you know?
Right.
Us Italians, we like to wear that flannel every
day. Did you go deer hunting this morning?
I did not, and I'm the furthest thing from a hunter.
Okay.
But I do like to wear flannel when it gets a little chilly outside and just getting in the whole Christmas spirit and everything, so I'll break it out a couple times this
Speaking
year.
Of chilly, the yeah. Giants got it done in the cold on Sunday.
Yeah.
And look, you know what? We can talk about the negatives, right?
Yeah.
We can talk about, well, Tony Romo threw the ball all over him, Jason Witten, all those things, the pass defense still isn't there. But the bottom line is they got the W, and
yeah.
the bottom line to me is guys made plays.
Yeah.
You know, they made big plays when they had to. Obviously, the Dominic Hickson punt return, that was simply outstanding.
Yeah.
You know, he did a lot of that on his own. You know, there are some punt returns where the guy makes one cut, hits it, and it's over. This was Hickson running all over the lot, making guys miss. And then the Brandon Jacobs
yeah.
touchdown. Joe, I never knew he was that fast.
Where was that all year?
Yeah, where is that, where's
makes,
that speed
makes you think
been?
Maybe they want to throw some screens more often, the Giants, when you see, you know. He's
more
catching
screens
the ball
to him.
Really well this year.
Yeah, he is scared. Nobody wants to tackle him
yeah.
in the open field once he gets going.
Right.
The problem for most of this year has been they really can't get Brandon out in the open field. It's, you know, he more often than not gets stopped before he even gets started.
Yeah.
So if they could find a way to somehow get him out in space, because when he's really dangerous is when he gets a 5-yard runny,
yeah.
you know, on linebackers or safeties or DBs. They want no parts of it. Did you see Sensabaugh? I mean, the safety for
yeah.
the Cowboys, he was being blocked. He looked to me like he wanted to stay blocked. He wanted no part of Brandon Jacobs. And even when he was trying to disengage from the block,
yeah.
he really didn't want to hit Brandon Jacobs. He did not want any part of that.
And the funny thing about this game is, sure, it was outside and wasn't in Texas, but it was the Dallas Cowboys who had the really big plays this year that you saw, you know, coming
Miles
into this
Austin,
game. And you
Felix
really didn't
Jones.
See a lot of big offensive plays from the Giants this year. You didn't see any big Brandon Jacobs runs. Sure, you had a lot of Ahmad Bradshaw runs, which went for 15, 20 yards. But the big play was really on the Giants' side this week. And you Dominic Hickson is a great returner. He's the best returner on the Giants, I should say that. And he had a great game returning the ball against New Orleans, but nobody's going to remember that because they were killed against New
Correct.
Orleans. But I'm sitting there, and I remember I'm watching the game with Joe Ariem, and I'm saying before the game even started, the first punt that went to Hickson, I'm going, you know, come on, let's see something this week. Let's just see something from this guy this week because he has done nothing, neither on special teams since that game or offensively. So I was happy to see him make a big play. And Eli having a very mediocre game. He had a very mediocre game.
And they still couldn't really run the
That's
ball.
That's right. And what I like to see, and I'm going back to Brandon Jacobs again, is I'm watching him hit the holes this week, and a lot of times he starts carrying the ball, and as he's running forward this week, he's deciding which hole to hit instead of getting the ball, stuttering back, deciding which hole to hit, and then going. He's running forward, then hitting the hole.
He at least was going
yeah.
there. Interesting. What did you think of my boy Flozell Adams?
Boy,
you know, I started next to him for 7 games in 02.
Yeah.
I know Flozell.
Yeah, well, that was just plain dirty.
What was he
it's
thinking?
A Giants-Cowboy rivalry. I understand that.
I got to be honest with you. I loved it. I loved it.
A shove in the back after the play's over?
No. I just like confrontation.
Yeah.
No, it was a cheap shot. There's no reason for it, especially
right.
in the back.
Yeah.
I mean, the back like that, that's cowardly. It really is. But see, I like conflict. I live for conflict. I'd love to get into a fight with you right now.
Well, I think I have a little size advantage over you right now, and I have that Italian spunk, but I don't know.
Well, Joey or Emma would probably have your back, that's for
I'll have
sure.
to call in the Italian army on you, but what I did like to see, and you probably like this, is as soon as that happened, who comes up? Kiwanuka comes
yep.
up and goes right in Flo's
face. So did Deal, so did Terrell Thomas. I
yeah.
loved it.
That was,
that's what I like.
Yeah.
Because at the core, I think that's what football is about. And all of the guys for the Giants, they had Tuck's back immediately. And I know Tuck felt really good about that. I just don't even understand what Flozell was thinking.
And,
And I think it hurt the Cowboys in the second half. I think it just pumped up the Giants even more.
It did. I think the Giants had a strong end to the first half, you know, with the fumble and putting the points on the board. But I want to ask you something, because as a fan, this is what really gets me upset. And this has really got me upset about the Arizona game this year and the Denver game. I thought the Giants did not want to get off the plane in Denver. They showed no life. They showed no emotion.
That was a thoroughly disappointing game.
This is coming off a big win against the Atlanta Falcons, which put them back in the playoff hunt. And I get disappointed as a fan when I don't see an effort by the Giants with no life, no emotion. I saw it all this week.
Spunk, life, everything.
And I'm saying as I watch the game, even if the Giants lose this game, at least they're showing me the life this week. At least they're showing me they want to play. But as a player, do you really need something to get you excited every week, something to get you hyped up? You know, it's a divisional game. I mean, that alone should get you excited. But just being in the playoff hunt every week, shouldn't you just be naturally excited just to get off the plane, play a road game? I don't understand how it goes.
You should be able to get up because it's only 16 games you need to get up for. So you should be able to do that. But it isn't as easy as people think to really be at a fevered pitch. You know, you have to work yourself up into that sometimes. But they clearly, I mean, they had so much more emotion than they did against the Cardinals earlier. I know they beat the Cowboys at the start of the season, but the other two primetime games that I watched against both the Broncos and the Cardinals, it was almost like they were sleepwalking.
Yeah.
You know, it was almost like just being in the hotel all day had kind of worn them out.
And that's what I really get upset about as a fan. I mean, I can understand, you know, the San Diego game was a real letdown watching the Giants lose that game. But for the most part, they played a good game. Eli played a good game, and the Giants fought until the end. These other games, it gets me really upset as a Giant fan because they have a very talented team, not to show any emotion out there. So I was happy they were back this week, and they go into another tough game against Philadelphia. I hate when the Giants play at night because the Giants really don't play well at night. They have back-to-back now night games in the division. This is going to be a real tough one this week.
Yes, it is. This is the one where we'll see if they have the emotion again. They need it again. I mean, they need to bring everything they had last week and more because, quite frankly, the Eagles looked awesome against Atlanta. Now, I know they didn't have Michael Turner and Matt Ryan, but still, they destroyed Atlanta down there in Atlanta. That's still a decent football team that they just ran all over, threw all over, did whatever they wanted. It's going to be a very tough task for the Giants, and because of that, because of the inconsistencies of the Giants, I'm going to take the birds.
Yeah, I think the Eagles would have to be favored in this game because the Giants are just consistently inconsistent
this
year.
There you go. I like that.
We're going to come right back. We're going to talk about the other New York team, the New York Jets, who had a nice victory on a Thursday night last week. This has been Football NYC. Joe Callow, Ross Tucker.
Go to YesNetwork.com to check out the latest This Week in Football segment exclusively for the website. And while you're there, don't forget to also check out Gordon Damer Fantasy Gamer for the best in your fantasy picks. That's all at YesNetwork.com.
We are back. Football NYC. We're going to do a little Jets talk. Now, Jets had the Thursday night game last week, and the Jets are playing on the East Coast, so it really didn't hurt the Bills by playing in Toronto for this game, but you wanted the game to be outside. The game was in Toronto. It really wasn't a great game to watch, but the Jets did what they had to do. They come away with a divisional victory, and they needed it because Buffalo beat them the first time, but you also saw Sanchez leave the game.
Well, this is also the same Buffalo Bills team that had just really thoroughly downed the Dolphins the week before.
Yeah.
You know, so this was not a pushover game, even though the Bills have had their struggles this year. They were still able to beat the Dolphins, and they're playing at a decent level with Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback. The Jets just completely shut them down. I mean, it's impressive. When that Jets defense really is clicking, it's impressive. Darrell Revis, he might be the best corner in the National Football League. I know Charles Woodson is playing excellent. I know all about Nnamdi Asamoah out there in Oakland. But Darrell Revis, and he's physical. How about that play where he just knocked T.O. on his butt? I love that. I live for that. And Darrell Revis, every week, you know, we talked about in the Giants segment about the emotion of bringing it every week. Darrell Revis brings it every week.
Yeah,
he is a pro's pro every week. As it relates to Sanchez, you know, I'm a little frustrated, not only with the fans and the media, but even Rex Ryan talking about how he should have slid there. What are they talking about, Joe?
Well, I know Gary Myers had an article coming out saying, you know, Rex has to really get on Sanchez, you know, for not sliding. But my thought is that when you're in the game like this and you're trying to get a first down, a lot of times you're not looking over the sideline to see where the first down marker is. And it was a close game.
And it was a very close game. They needed the game in order to win and to keep their season alive.
Yeah.
He had to dive head first to get the first down.
Right.
He did what he had to do. I mean, he's a football player.
Yeah.
I don't know why Rex Ryan. I'm very surprised at how Rex Ryan has treated this. I really don't understand it, quite frankly. Gary Myers, I don't agree with what he's saying, but I often don't agree with Gary Myers.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've seen the show This Week in
Absolutely,
Football
yeah.
on the YES Network. But I thought Sanchez did exactly what he had to do.
Yeah.
And someone needs to tell me how he sprained his PCL by bumping his knee. I don't really understand how you sprain a PCL
yep.
by your knee banging. To me, it's almost like maybe he had a bursa sac.
Yep.
You know, maybe he's got a bruised knee. But I don't know how he sprained his PCL by it banging against the ground.
And as a player, I understand you taking that viewpoint. And I think as a Jet fan, I think Jet fans could understand that too. The guy's competitive. And, you know, it was a very close game. It was the heat of the moment. And he's running forwards. He's not looking on the sideline. He's trying to get a first down. So I understand that Rex Ryan's been told. And Rex Ryan has told Sanchez, you know, you got to grow up a little bit. But I think it was a great play by a young quarterback just trying to get the first down, throwing his body.
You slide when it doesn't make a difference whether it's a first down or not.
Yeah.
You slide when you want to give yourself up and not take a hit. When it's third down or whatever it was and you need to dive to get the first down, you dive. You get the first down. This is the National Football League. And you know what? If he slid feet first, 2 yards short of that first down, they punt it and they lose, how do his teammates feel about him then?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're not going to get hurt. The reason why they want him to slide is so that he doesn't take shots to the head or to the shoulder. They don't want him to slide to avoid, banging his knee.
Well, I think a lot was made out of Joe Girardi coming last week and teaching him how to slide. So it was a hot topic, I guess, this week, and it just so happened this week. But regardless of the play, the Jets now at 6-6. The way the division is working out with New England losing against Miami.
I can't believe
that. And Baltimore losing on the Monday night game against Green Bay. The Jets are not bad right now.
They're not in it. I mean, they're in this.
I know.
They're not done yet. They're only a game behind Jacksonville for a wild card. They're only a game behind New England for the division. I mean, they are right in the thick of this thing. And they play the Bucs.
Yeah, they play the Bucs this week. And they'll probably play, you know, the Colts like to try hard every week. And they're probably going to want to go for the record. But we saw what happened with the Colts a couple years ago when they were undefeated. You know, getting to the playoffs was more important to them. So the Jets may play a Colts team that don't need the game. And a Bengals team the last week of the season may have everything wrapped up. So, you know, everything may just fall to the Jets.
No, you're exactly right. In fact, I'm doing the Colts-Broncos game on Sunday. If the Colts win, they clinch home field advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Yeah.
So they might start to rest their guys. So this might be laid perfectly for the Jets to go on a playoff run.
So I'm guessing you like the Jets this week against the Bucs.
I do, but I would not be surprised if the Bucs won. I mean, I know that's a caveat, but I'm just telling you, the Bucs put up some pretty good yardage numbers against Carolina. They just didn't put the points up because Freeman had all those picks. Let's put it this way, Joe. It's not a gimme game for the Jets. You're going to have to earn it.
Yeah, I expect the Jets to play a good game, and I think they're going to win the game as well. And the game you just brought up with the Colts-Broncos, we're going to come back and talk about that in our segment three where we go around the NFL. This has been Football NYC. Joe Callo, Ross Tucker.
Attention all high school football players. Log on to GoBigRecruiting.com, the new and simple way to submit your game films to the colleges of your choice. Forget tapes and DVDs, upload your entire game online and get the comfort of notifications that the school of your choice watched the film. That's GoBigRecruiting.com.
We are back, segment three, Football NYC. Ross Tucker will be doing the Colts-Broncos game this weekend. Very good matchup. I like the matchup. Do you think the Colts get their first loss?
I don't. You know, it's going to be close. Mm-hmm. I think what gives the Broncos a chance is they have the ingredients necessary to beat the Colts in the sense that they have a very good secondary, a very good veteran secondary with Goodman at corner, Champ Bailey. They've got Brian Dawkins. And then they also generate a significant pass rush from just their front four, mainly Elvis Dumervil, who's just been on fire all season long.
Great speed,
And power too.
Yeah.
You know, he actually reminds me of guys like Freeney and Mathis, you know, the Colts guys.
Mm-hmm.
He's built like that, short, powerfully built, James Harrison type. You know, it's almost like the new prototype for pass rushers. You used to think the 6'6 guys with the long arms. Now it's like these 6'2", 250 speed demons that, you know, are just very physical and can get low to the ground when they try to turn the corner or run the hoop, as we say in the NFL. So I think this will be a very competitive game, mm-hmm. especially because Denver can also run the ball.
Yeah.
And they ran the ball extremely well against Kansas City, which is the other thing that can hurt the Colts. But, Joe, I just can't go against the Colts. I mean, how can you, you know, everybody thought, oh, man, the Titans are coming to town. It just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The Colts just fight. They just win. And so I think that they want to make sure that they finish with their starters playing undefeated. So whether or not they're not going to go for the record.
Right.
They're going to sit their guys later on in the year. But I think they're going to try and win this one. I think that they probably will.
And Peyton Manning has been in this situation so many times. I mean, it just seems every year he has this team with a winning record going into December.
This is their seventh straight year with 12 wins.
Oh, my God.
12 wins.
I know. And even when the Titans play well, he just has control of the division, you know, pretty much every year. And you really can't bet against him at home. I mean, if the game was in Denver and we had some of the weather elements, maybe. But I can't see the Colts losing this game at home because I really thought the Titans were going to be the team last week because the Titans had all this momentum. But yeah,
not anymore.
I love Peyton Manning, especially in December. The guy's unbelievable.
Don't you wish you had him instead of Eli?
No.
The Giants?
No. I love my Eli. You know what? I do love Eli. Peyton Manning is a great quarterback. Eli Manning will never be his brother. But you know what? Everybody in NFL wish they would have Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning's number one. But Eli's not even top five. You know that, right?
I don't care if Eli's the top five. There's a lot of teams in the NFL that would like a top 20 quarterback. You know?
It's true.
You know, I'm
probably about 12.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always on the Eli bandwagon, even when he plays bad. I mean, this is a kid who's took his team to the playoffs. Every year he's been a starter. He's a Super Bowl MVP. In the biggest drive of his life, he took the team down the field and won a Super Bowl. I'll take what I can get because you could have Ryan Leaf as your quarterback. You could have Rick Myers as your quarterback. You could have a lot. You know, you could have a situation that's going on in Cleveland. You know, you could have a lot worse than Eli Manning. Sure, he's never going to be his brother, but you know, the Colts have been spoiled all these years. You know, even now, I mean, you're looking at the year Tom Brady has. It makes you even appreciate Peyton Manning more.
Exactly,
he's a great quarterback. But let's talk about another great quarterback, Minnesota Vikings, who had a tough loss the other night against the Arizona Cardinals, against those Cincinnati Bengals, who could wrap up this division.
Yeah, this will be a pretty interesting game, you know, because the Vikings, they were beat up pretty badly mm-hmm. Sunday night. You know, Brett Favre obviously did not play his best. E.J. Henderson had that horrific injury. That's a significant loss for them.
Yeah.
I mean, they got to come in with a young kid, Jasper Brinkley. He's not E.J. Henderson. E.J. Henderson is the heart and soul of that defense.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the type of thing that people, you know, people want to project what's going to happen in the postseason. People want to say, well, this team's unbeatable. There are still four games to play.
Mm-hmm.
Guys are still going to get injured. That's the difference. There will be, mark my words, Joe Callow, there will be two or three more injuries over the next 4 weeks that will have a significant impact on the postseason.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but the weird thing about Cincinnati is usually, you know, against bad opponents, they usually play well against. It seems like this year against the good opponents, Cincinnati seems to rise up. And
exactly.
Play really well against. That's what I'm liking out of Cincinnati this year. It seems
Where
like
is that
play,
game?
Well, the game is in Minnesota. So
I'm
it's an indoor
Minnesota.
Game. You taking Minnesota?
Taking Minnesota. It's at home. I expect them to bounce back. And the Bengals haven't really looked that great against Cleveland and Detroit the last 2 weeks. Or even, quite frankly, the week before when they lost to Oakland, who, by the way, has beaten the Eagles, Bengals, and the Steelers. So that's why I can't sleep at night.
Well, the last game I want to talk about is the Dallas Cowboys coming off this loss now against the New York Giants. They're going to host the San Diego Chargers, who have been on a roll, man. I mean, they're really showing it on offense, on defense, and this game is in Dallas. It's the late game on Sunday, and how do you think the Cowboys come back after this loss?
Well, I think this is going to be a fantastic game.
Yeah.
I like the Cowboys in this game. Even though the Chargers are playing as well as they are, I think the Chargers have to go the late game in Cleveland back to San Diego, then travel again.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I don't want to say that they're due for a loss, but I believe to some extent in a regression to the mean. I still think the Chargers have a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
But I think the Cowboys will bounce back and get the win. I don't think this is the same old December Cowboys, but they just have such a brutal stretch of schedule coming up here at the end.
And I think the same old Cowboys thing is weighing on their mind, especially after this loss the other day, where Romo really played a decent game. And also, I think I agree with you. I think they're looking at the rest of their schedule. And they're saying, you know what, compared to the Giants and the Eagles, we have the toughest schedule. So we have to win the home game. So I think the Cowboys are really going to need this game this week.
Which is why it's also very important they get off to a fast start. Because if they get off to a slow start against the Chargers, then they'll all start thinking, oh, man, here we go again. We really do stink in December. We really can't get it done. Cowboys need to get a couple scores early to get their confidence going, feeling good about themselves.
The last thing I want to talk about is you just brought it up. And as a player, do you really think that in a game? I mean, say you're down and you're in the situation, you're a Dallas Cowboy, and your offensive lineman on the Dallas Cowboys, and right off the bat, you're down 14-0, say a kick return for a touchdown. Does that really go through your head at the end of the first quarter, oh, my God, here we go again December, or do you go, I got three quarters ahead of me in this game, we're still in this?
Both. I think you say, I got three quarters left, let's go out there, let's go dominate the game. But it might even be subconsciously, you know what the questions are going to be after the game. You know, when you're down 14-0, you're thinking, man, we better get this going. After the game, they're going to start talking about all that December stuff again. I really don't want that to happen. Whether it's conscious or subconsciously, believe me, Joe, they're aware of it.
All right. Either way, I think it's going to be a really good last month of the season. Ross, thanks for joining me.
Anytime.
We'll talk
next
week.
Let's go hunting sometime.
Let's go. How about you do the hunting? I'll eat anything that you bring in.
There you
Turkeys,
go.
Wild boars, anything. But we'll talk again next week. Have a good weekend. And we'll be back next week, fans, with Football NYC.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man, it doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought me some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low, let it snow, let it snow.